Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Thomas Park, and I am a professor at the United Nations University. I'm very happy to see that so many pupils have come here today. First of all, let me read a short description of the university from our mission statement. It is our goal to contribute, through research and capacity building, to efforts to resolve the pressing global problems that are the concern of the United Nations, its peoples and member states. In line with our mission statement, my main focus at the university is peace and international relations. We are a small group today, so please feel free to interrupt me with any questions you might have. Let's begin. When addressing the topic of international peacekeeping, as we are doing here today, it is perhaps best to start by answering the question, where and when did it all begin? In May 1948, the UN Security Council decided to deploy 36 unarmed military observers to supervise a fragile ceasefire in the First Arab-Israeli War. These were the first United Nations peacekeepers. More than half a century later, hundreds of thousands of people, most of them soldiers, have served in almost 60 United Nations peacekeeping operations. More than 1,790 military and civilian peacekeepers have died while serving in United Nations operations. To be sure, the UN requires extensive funding to support its operations, and each member country is required to make financial contributions based on the country's share of the global economy. In fact, your own country, Germany, is one of the biggest financial contributors to the UN. Germany's contributions amount to approximately 10% of the UN's regular budget. Germany has also been involved in numerous UN peacekeeping operations, sending troops and police officers to the countries in need. However, it is important to keep in mind that peacekeeping can take on a variety of forms and doesn't always necessarily involve military troops. Here's a nice example of how people from all walks of life can be active in peacekeeping. Vlada Divac, a Serb who plays for the Sacramento Kings, is a member of the NBA All-Star team and a UN Goodwill Ambassador. More importantly, he is a hero and a symbol of peace to youth from countries once part of Yugoslavia, that is, Slovenia, Croatia, Bosnia and Herzegovina, Serbia and Montenegro, and the former Yugoslav Republic of Macedonia. The programme is called Basketball Without Borders and was developed jointly by the United Nations Drug Control Programme and the National Basketball Association. This past year, 50 boys participated in a three-day camp in Italy with the goal of rediscovering how to live and play together and of overcoming ethnic differences. Divac and eight other NBA stars from the Balkans coached the boys.
Excuse me, Professor Park. I have a question.
Yes, go ahead.
Basketball Without Borders sounds like a really great program, but a basketball camp cannot undo the last decade of violence in the Balkans.
That's true, and a very insightful statement. But then again, that is not the goal. The camps can help to teach the next generation that with mutual respect, cooperation and hard work, people from different ethnic backgrounds can share a future that is not clouded by hatred. I'd like to move on to a more controversial topic, Iraq. This is an excellent example for showing the complexity of international relations and peacekeeping. As you know, the UN is involved in Iraq, but not militarily. The United States, along with a number of allies, is responsible for the military presence in Iraq. Europe was split regarding support for the war, which prompted the US Secretary of Defense, Donald Rumsfeld, to label all opposing European countries, Germany amongst them, as old Europe. Germany has, however, supported reconstruction in the country by providing police training outside Iraq. The UK is one of America's allies in the war, which has caused domestic problems for the Labour government. As you can see, the subject of Iraq has threatened to cause new rifts in world politics. Yes, there's a question at the back.
But how can the US act without a UN mandate? How can they just start a war on their own?
A very critical question indeed. The United Nations needs to address and re-establish the role of the UN Security Council in maintaining world order. It is correct that a country should not be denied its right to self-defense. But on the other hand, all member nations of the UN need to abide by the Charter and act within the UN framework regarding major security objectives.